This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stafford set up in the gun, left foot forward, leaning in to take the snap. Bounces, deals, deep down the right side. He's got Kupp running down the hash marks. He reels it in at the 15. Cooper Kupp has the catch, tackled at the 12, puts it down in game-winning formation.
There's the call on Rams radio to set up the game winner, and they stave off the comeback from Tom Brady. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Is this the end for Brady, period? The end for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? More from Jerry Jones, Dan Quinn interviewing with the Giants today, the Sean Payton report. All of it. If you love football and love what happened this weekend, do not go anywhere. Every single minute dedicated to it here on Sean and RJ. Happy Monday, y'all. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. 27-3. This is how far down the Bucs were. And then the Rams did everything possible to let them back in this game. You had the Cam Akers fumble, which could have been the kill shot right before the half. Akers fumbles at the goal line. Cooper Kupp fumbles with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. It was 27-6. Fournette scores a touchdown to make it 27-13. The Rams then have a drive where they only take 9 seconds off the clock, but then Von Miller with the strip sack. All right, there you go. Put out that fire. No, it's a bad snap. Pass Stafford. It's a 30-yard swing. Just like that, Weddle with the hit after the play was dead on fourth down to result in a turnover on downs. You had Cam Akers fumbling again a second time. The Buccaneers tied up, and then Cooper Kupp with the catch, somehow getting open in Matt Stafford's biggest moment.
No idea how they let him behind there. Not a clue. That was that's just a terrible, I don't know who is at fault there. Maybe there was a mix-up with the personnel, in terms of the players that they had, a mix-up on what the call was. Maybe they just weren't thinking about it. Oh, no, they're just going to run it out. I don't know what the hell that was.
So one of the things that's going to scar us for the immediate future is checking out every single clock-killing scenario, rushing up to the line of scrimmage, end-of-game situations, and how other teams do it compared to the Cowboys with Dak against San Fran. So the pass is completed to Kupp, and Tolos start losing their minds looking at how the ref spotted the ball and which ref was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a back judge, you got an umpire, right? The Cowboys apparently had to rely on, is the umpire the one standing 20, 25 yards behind the quarterback?
Yes, the back judge is behind.
By the end zone.
Yeah, behind all the secondary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so back judge, this is important, at least for people who are not as smart as, just as dumb as I am, because I get confused. Umpire behind the offense. Back judge behind the defense. So Stafford completes the pass, running everyone up to the line of scrimmage. NBC cuts back to the field, and it looks like the back judge, the one behind the defense, is backing away from the ball. It looks as if he was the one to go ahead and spot that. They weren't waiting on the umpire behind the offense to run in, spot it, touch it, do whatever like the Cowboys had to wait for. So everyone's like, oh, different rules. Here you go. Different rules for the Cowboys. We got screwed. So I sent a tweet to Dean Blandino.
Yeah.
Friend of the city. And I said, what's the difference here? Can you explain it? Here's what Blandino tweeted back. Umpire is the primary for spotting the ball, the guy behind the offense. But on a deep pass like that, the back judge will spot it. Goal is to be as efficient as possible. So number one, I think TV didn't catch the back judge spotting it. We just got him backpedaling away because people were like, oh, San Fran just, LA didn't have to spot it at all. They had the pass completion, yeah, and they just went with the next down. The center was able to put the ball wherever he wanted. No, I think that the back judge spotted it, but that's Blandino's explanation for why that ref was able to get involved versus the umpire, the one the Cowboys had to wait for. After a 16-yard, we got to talk about the gain difference now, right? Dax was 16, 17 yards running
This
was a 40.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. I totally get it. And on a pass versus on a run, it's easier to prepare, for that, because here comes.
Ball's in the air.
Right. And the other thing is, and part of the reason I think I'm going to assume that they do with the umpire to the back judge normally is it's easier for the umpire to get out of the way of the play. He's backing up behind the offense. It's not going to be a play back there. Whereas the back judge would have to then backpedal through all the defenders, and there's a whole lot of traffic back there, and he just doesn't want to get anybody's way. So that's probably why they do it, I'm assuming. But it doesn't make any, it doesn't make us feel any better.
Right.
If there was somebody closer that could have spotted the ball, it would have made maybe the Cowboys able to get the spike off. I mean, we needed literally a half a second.
Yeah. Did anyone think that the Rams were going to hold on for this after Fournette scored on fourth down?
No.
No way.
I didn't.
And Stafford almost fumbled it on the game-winning drive. Yeah. He almost lost it.
He did. He got it back, right? I think they called it a fumble. I thought for sure. Oh, I was like, holy cow. Tampa's going to win this game. Holy cow. It was almost like, there was a point, I think, I wonder how many people said when they scored that fourth down, they should have just snuck it. They should have just snuck it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a quick sneak. So did Collinsworth. And then back to the line of scrimmage for a final play.
Should have snuck it. You wouldn't have left them any time. You would have, and take your chances with overtime. Because at that point, the Rams were in a spot where they didn't have to do anything. They could have just knelt it. They could have just knelt it, gone to OT, and taken care of it. But no, they were like, we're going to win. We're not dealing with OT. We're not going to deal with never seeing the football again.
Kupp had a 70-yard touchdown on 3rd and 20. Again, he had a fumble as well. Bloody Brady went viral as Sean Hockley, the most hated referee in the National Football League, was again on full display, giving Tom his first unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in his entire career. As people on Twitter were saying, that Sean Hockley took pride in that and wanted to be the one to say, yeah. I've always wondered that, why you can get technical fouls in the NBA. They don't exist really in the National Football League. Tom was giving it to him after he took, yep. In watching it live, I didn't think he got really hit in the helmet or hit in the face, but he clearly did because he was bleeding.
He's bleeding. Now he could have bit his lip maybe, but yeah, he was clearly bleeding. And by the way, I just have to say, when Tom took the helmet off and he hit that, smoldering intensity, fierce gaze there. I thought about it for a minute. I did. I was like, I could marry that dude.
See him walking around on the field beforehand in those glasses and his cool jacket and glasses? God. Looked like a pimp with Giselle up there in the box. Look, they couldn't block the Rams early in the regular season.
Nope.
And that was one of the differences yesterday. Tom was pressured 10 times in the first half. They got to him 19 times with pressures in week 3. Aaron Donald just living in the backfield. He was unstoppable. Von Miller with his big play. The Buccaneers had issues with their tackles. And look, you talk about Cowboy lessons. The Rams had a backup left tackle in there. All right, dealing with Jason Pierre-Paul with, is it Whitworth? Who's the old white guy left tackle for the Rams?
Yeah, Whitworth.
Whitworth.
He Andrew Whitworth.
He was banged up. He was hurt. And then the Rams destroyed the Bucs with special teams. Like, the Rams definitely deserve to win the game.
Yeah.
They dominated the game. But that is how maybe Tom Brady's career ends. There's a lot of talk that we haven't heard in the past few years. We'll get to that in 10 minutes, but let's start off with the first game on Saturday as the first number one seed went down.
Snap, set, kick. It's good.
The NFL playoffs on Titans Radio.
What? Did that really happen? They went to commercial? What?
I wasn't prepared for that. What?
Snap, set, kick. It's good.
The NFL playoffs on Titans Radio.
Ryan Tannehill was awful. He gets intercepted on the first pass that he had. Joe Burrow was the NFL's most sacked quarterback during the year, just ahead of Tannehill. The Titans sacked him nine times, tying a postseason record as Evan McPherson kicks the 52-yard game winner, and the four seed Cincinnati moves on to KC for the AFC Championship game. They end the NFL's longest active road playoff skid. Bam. They just ended their 31-year playoff drought. They finally won their first road game in the postseason after losing their first seven. Got Tannehill three total times in this game with Derrick Henry's return.
1968 is when that organization started, and that's their first road playoff win. 1968.
What?
Yeah. They've never had a road playoff win ever. That's amazing. And Joe Burrow gets there, and then 19 months later, they have two playoff wins.
Yeah, I love the meme. And by love it, I hate seeing the meme all weekend of Joe Burrow. This man has won twice as many playoff games in 8 days as Dak has won in 6 years. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I know, it's terrible.
The Titans with their third straight loss on their home field as the one seed. They haven't won at home since January 03 in the postseason.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So let's see. As a one seed, they lost to the Ravens. Remember, they lost to the Ravens in 2000.
Yeah, that was Eddie George, Ray Lewis.
Yeah, and they were the one seed that year. But that's tough. That really, really is. And you know, we had said they were probably the worst one seed ever.
Yep.
You know, they're just, the numbers showed that they were just not a very good one seed. And you know, I'll tell you, you have Derrick Henry, and you can't get a fourth and one multiple times. Or, you know, 1 yard multiple times, that's surprising to me.
The NFL playoffs on Titans Radio.
Trying to go to commercial.
That's amazing. And this kicker apparently is as cool as Burrow. When he went up to Joe and he goes, before the kick, he goes, "Ugh, guess we're going to the AFC title game." That's what Burrow said, the kicker said, before he went out there and hit the first of three road walk-off game winners this weekend.
Man, it's amazing. The teams usually will do this. They'll take on the personality of their head coach, but sometimes they will take on the personality of the quarterback.
Are they going to say the personality of the kicker?
Yeah, right? It appears the kicker's taking on the personality of Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like a confident, borderline cocky.
Yes.
Like Joe Burrow is towing that line.
Yes.
Right? He is towing that line of confident and cocky. And we are going to turn on him for that at some point. But right now, he's the young kid. It's cool. It's refreshing. And he has done in literally 19 months what the Bengals have been unable to do in, you know, 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's win playoff games and win road playoff games.
The Bengals had five straight losing seasons before getting to this conference title game. The Rams had nine before winning it all in 99. So they're number one in terms of the most consecutive seasons before getting to a conference championship game. And Cincy now on that list. They had five straight losing years. Bam. Conference title game.
Yeah, they really did. And this is...
Nine sacks.
Yeah, I
know. Nine sacks allowed.
Nine sacks.
The Rams won, giving it away four times. And the Bengals win, giving up 9 sacks.
Both these quarterbacks, neither quarterback of this game, even Burrow wasn't that great in this game. He was good. He was better than Tannehill was. Tannehill was starting to traffic it and balls tipped up in the air, and then bam, interceptions. This game looked like it was running in slow motion. If you compare this to the Sunday games, the Saturday games looked like they were in slow motion. I get Green Bay, San Fran. Bad weather, one's a running team. These two teams, there's no reason they should have been in slow motion like that.
Did the 49ers win make you feel better about the Cowboys losing to them? Is that Aaron Rodgers' final game as a Packer? Is Tom Brady walking away? And what about the game last night to cap it all off? Sean and RJ continuing with divisional round recaps right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
They blocked the punt. They blocked the punt, and Bjork has it's rolling free.
Pick it
on
up.
The goal line, the 49ers scoop it, and Talanoa Hufanga scored. Touchdown, San Francisco. They blocked the punt.
Oh, 49ers radio with the call.
Get that guy a hot toddy or something like that. dang, man.
877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex here on Sean and RJ, and Aaron Rodgers has still never made it to a Super Bowl without Mike McCarthy.
There you go.
I stole that from RJ Ochoa. No, this did not make me feel better about San Francisco beating us. Did it for you? How do y'all view that question?
Absolutely not.
I was rooting for Green Bay, no hesitation. Sometimes it does work the other way.
I agree.
If San Fran goes and wins it all, you could say, we got taken out by the champs. It was legit. But that's not the way I felt, and that's not the way I'm feeling today.
I don't feel that way today. I definitely do not feel that way today.
Why?
Because that was such an ugly game. Such an awful game. And
to me, it's like Green Bay could have been had.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I wanted the Cowboys to go to Tampa. Bassett's going to come in here, he's going to pound his chest, and he is going to be right about the Buccaneers being susceptible. I had them getting taken out in the second round as well, and I thought, they're just too hurt. They're just too banged up. And then go to Lambeau, and the home field mystique has disappeared over the years, and you got a possibility to make it to the Super Bowl in L.A., so that's the way I looked at that ugly game, like, freak. The Cowboys could have been in that.
I don't think freak was the exact word.
It was not.
It was that you used or I used, either one. But it was they could have been gotten. They could have been gotten. They really could have been. And so could Tampa. And obviously the Rams are, they're beatable. When they're on, they're very good though. But this was, I don't feel better about this. I'll tell you what I feel better about is after watching last night, we weren't going to win the title anyway. We're not in the same ballpark as those two teams.
Right.
So that's what I feel better about.
Yes.
But in terms of the San Fran Green Bay game, no.
Yes.
Totally. We all know that Green Bay could have been gotten. You know why? Aaron Rodgers can't win a game.
Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully, everyone kept asking us, y'all going to let him off the hook? When is he going to catch the heat? It's time to catch the heat. Patrick Mahomes now has as many playoff wins as Aaron Rodgers over the last 10 years. What happened? Opening drive touchdown? Then you scored 3 points for the final 55 minutes? 11th straight year without a Super Bowl appearance. 11 straight years. And the Packers were up 7-0 in this game. Special teams. I hate talking about special teams. Regular season, whatever. Everyone fair catches. Everyone has touchbacks. Everyone's kicking 54-yarders. Green Bay special teams were their Achilles heel throughout the entire season. And a lot of the heat was on Mason Crosby. Well, look what they did on Saturday night to get eliminated. The punt block changed everything. It was a 5-point Packer lead. It was a 7-point lead. It was 10-3 with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Bam. The punt block touchdown. And then you talk about coaching. Matt LaFleur, you know, making Mike McCarthy look stupid every year. They had 10 guys on the field for the game-winning field goal. Yeah. That special teams coach will be gone by Wednesday. No doubt about it. Like, see you later. Throughout the entire year. And then you had 10, the punt block, and then 10 people out there to try to save your season.
Yep. It's, you know, it's bad. It really is. And to have
a third team ever with a blocked field goal and a punt in a playoff game. That was San Fran.
And I bet you the other two teams won the game. You know, it's just the way it is, right? You know, you get those turnovers on special teams, and those are huge, especially in the cap league. You know, pre-salary cap, you know, you could have got those games. There were so many blowout playoff games back in like the 80s, early 90s, just blowout games.
Aaron Rodgers' worst playoff QBR with a 19.3. Zero passing touchdowns, 5 sacks.
It's bad. That is bad. And you know,
someone said A-Rod was also in the crowd.
A-Rod was in the crowd.
That was the beginning of the end as he was in the Packers colors.
He's got a new girl.
He does.
He got it. It was a blonde.
Is her name Ray Jo or something?
Ray Jo. Could have been. It was a Claudia Schiffer lookalike, Troy.
Get a clone like Kanye did Claudia to his ex.
Schiffer. Yeah.
Claudia Schiffer. What a callback.
Right? Oh, she was cute. Man, she's hot.
He's now 11-10 in his postseason career. Tom is 35-11.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes got 8 wins already. 8.
Travis Kelce has more passing touchdowns in the playoffs than Rodgers.
This year?
One zip.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we're here. For the most part, it's been crickets, you know, because everyone's saying, you know, they're talking, they're going right to
the offseason.
The offseason. They are skipping over the heat.
Next team.
You know, and you know, don't the special team stuff, whether or not you should be, that should be the blame placed.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
Yep.
You know, Tom Brady doesn't get demerits or you know, They don't take him down a notch because Adam Vinatieri made a bunch of kicks.
Yep. Same thing with Bones, right? Like you're not gonna change Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby's gonna be what he is. But with the punt block, not having the 10 guys on, that's what I blame him for. I don't blame him for Crosby, and I didn't blame Bones. Well, I blame Bones for, I guess, bringing Zuerlein here, but not technically fixing him.
But you know, we're not gonna sit here and say, oh, you know, Rodgers gets a pass in this game. That's just not how it works. You know, it should work like that at a lot of times, but this is not how the reality is. You know, if Tony Romo lost that game only scoring 10 points like that, he'd be murdered.
Matt LaFleur on the chances of Aaron Rodgers coming back.
You know, I don't know, Dan. Certainly, we want him back here. I think we'd be crazy not to want him back here. He's going to be the 2-time MVP. I mean, this guy does so much for a football team. Not only what you guys see on Sundays or every game day, but what he does in that locker room, how he leads, you know, I know what he puts into this thing.
What about Aaron Rodgers himself? I always like to judge guys walking off the field to try to tell if they're coming back or like he didn't do like a lap around the field. He kind of just walked straight to the tunnel. I don't know how much I could gather from that. Aaron Rodgers on being possibly done with Green Bay.
You know, I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision, obviously, before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front. But it's fresh right now. It's you know, little shocking for sure.
11th straight year without that Super Bowl appearance and the most home playoff losses in the last 20 years. The mystique of Lambeau Field. The Packers lead the way with 7. Chiefs have 5 home losses. Eagles, 5. Steelers, 5. And as the internet reminded us, only one of those franchises had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, since 1992, they've had those two guys. They've had those two quarterbacks since 1992. And after their rookie deal was up, neither one of them won a Super Bowl.
How are we going to make sure that we don't forget the playoff losses and just take this to, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers MVP, Aaron Rodgers next team over the top. How are we gonna harp on this? We got to make sure we can do something as a show to not be like the rest of the media who maybe lets them off the hook.
Because it's already over. Like they've already let them off the hook. The best that happened.
It's
Aaron,
not even Monday morning yet.
I know, but the best thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers was this game was on Saturday, not Sunday. Right? Because today, you know, every show today is going to be talking about last night's football game.
Yes.
They're going to not even mention. I mean, they'll mention
it. And Brady may be retiring.
Yeah. It's it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to skate on this playoff loss. And I am done. I'm not even going to fret over coverage and narratives anymore. I got no control over it. I'm too old. Life is too short to worry about whether or not Aaron Rodgers gets appropriately killed in the national media. But you and I have control over how we kill him.
Tom Brady. The reports came out this week that he's actually thinking about it. Now, the good news for Tampa Bay fans and Bruce Arians, it was more likely that Tom was going to retire if he won the title.
Yeah.
He wanted to end it with a Super Bowl, but apparently he is really thinking about it more so than in years past. Tom was asked, was that his final game yesterday?
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see where we're at. Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
So that was the report. Tom Brady remains non-committal for next year, according to Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington.
Is there a chance he leaves Tampa for another team?
No. He apparently like loves the city and the weather and all that.
It's hard not to like it.
Sure, Arians lets him do, you know, whatever he wants. What do you think happens with both? Let's just put it on the record. 6:30 a.m., you know, day one of their offseason with Rodgers and Tom. Which one's more difficult to choose? Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tom is... He's one of those lifers. Tom's going to play until he literally craps out on the field. Right? Like he is just, I think he's going to play and play and play. I could easily see Aaron Rodgers retiring. I could easily.
Right, put the three in order of return to Green Bay, go play somewhere else, retire.
Return to Green Bay, go play somewhere else, retire.
Same.
I think that's the order I would put it in.
Yeah. He says his relationship with the GM is so much better. I felt involved.
Yeah, I think retire is the least likely of the three, but I don't think it's zero. I think it's a higher, much higher percentage than that. He's got so many things he could do. I mean, he probably wants to be a podcaster I have no idea. Like,
he could go into medicine.
He could absolutely go into medicine. Politics.
Those jokes were the best.
Oh, yeah. The vaccine.
I got an A-Rod John Stockton segment planned. And it's the one I can't wait for the entire day. Here are the jokes. Let's see. Rodgers' playoff run thwarted by snowflakes. We all thought Rodgers had a shot, which has happened before. Just to be clear, he wasn't eliminated. He's just immunized from the Super Bowl. I got this red ass on my Twitter like, oh, it's not funny. It's not funny.
Yeah, it is.
You got to go ahead and laugh. I guess Rodgers decided to boycott the Super Bowl after all. Everyone stop making fun of Aaron. He hates being needled. Rodgers going to wait for all the research to come in before he declares the score final.
I think my favorite one was... Congrats to Jimmy on replacing Fauci as Rodgers' least favorite Italian.
And this is coming on the heels of what Rodgers had to say about Biden's fake White House after Biden made a little comment last month telling the people of Wisconsin, have your quarterback get the vaccine. And then he said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. When the president of the United States says that, it's because him and his constituents, which I don't know how there are any, if you watch any of his attempts at public speaking, but I guess he got 81 million votes. But when you say stuff like that, then you have the CDC, which how do you even trust them? But then they come out and talk about 75% of blah, 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 blah. So talk about the fake White House and going after Biden. So yeah. people were waiting for Rogers to stumble.
They absolutely were. And you know, these are funny. These are funny jokes. It just is. Rogers has, he has no problem speaking his mind. I love it. Talk, do that, do whatever. It's better than generic quotes, right? It's just way better than that. But you put yourself out there and someone will destroy you for that.
Is it finally time to change overtime? The old school, new school fight after Josh Allen didn't get his chance in overtime last night. Need you on the Autoflex Easing Fan Text with Sean and RJ after this.
Josh takes shotgun snap, looks, steps up, has time, fires to the end. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. The Bills get the lead back again.
Josh Allen, toe-to-toe, punch for punch with Patrick Mahomes as they put on an unforgettable show last night with Kansas City winning in overtime with the walk-off. They will host Cincinnati the fourth straight time that Arrowhead will see the AFC Championship game. It's Sean and RJ here on a Football Monday on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, the only home team to win this week and the only game to not be decided by a road field goal to walk it off. And it was 13 seconds up. What I said on Friday and having a really difficult time picking this game, what do you think about the Bills D? Is it legitimately number one? Is it really like an elite unit? And I think yesterday we got our answer as they allow Patrick Mahomes with 13 seconds left to go to Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill doing the damage. It's amazing what happens when you continue to target your playmakers. It's really, really weird. Tyreek Hill was special in that game, and then Kelce with the walk-off. But you knew this was coming. I tweeted it out with a few minutes left in regulation. Whoever doesn't get this ball in overtime, if someone goes down the field and scores, the other team isn't going to get a shot. They're not going to get a chance. And people got involved in the debate all night long. Brad Sham chiming in. Everyone on whether the OT rules were unfair to the Bills.
Look, I know
you hate it.
I can't stand it. I mean, to me, we saw this with Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago in the overtime game against New England in the AFC title game. Patrick Mahomes never saw the football. Josh Allen never saw the football. He's sitting there and you know it. Like when something as random as a coin flip determines the outcome of the game. And don't say, well, just play defense. Because guess what? The other team didn't have a chance to just play defense. You know, two could play that game, right? The other team could have just played defense too.
Yeah, because that's the counter argument. They did have their chance, and it was to stop the other team and not give up a touchdown. That defense is always forgotten. We only want the offense to have it, and the defense is nearly 50% of your team as well.
I know, but until we've realized, and we've done this by having years and years of information on this, is that defense is relatively, in a passing league, only as good as how bad that offense is at times. Like, it's helpless. That defense is helpless against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. You know how I know it's helpless? Because they scored 36 points in regulation. That's how I know it's helpless.
25 points in a minute, 54 seconds. Yeah,
it's helpless. Josh Allen should have. And look, I was fine with it because I got the win in gambling.
Oh.
Okay? I was fine with it. But in reality, Josh Allen, you saw his body language when he lost the coin toss. You saw, he's like, it's over. It's over. How? Like, the game was over the moment he did not win that coin toss. And I know Brad Shams, you know, he has his opinion, and I would agree with Brad. But if I did that, we'd both be wrong. I mean, you know, you just can't sit there and tell me there's no logical explanation to say that, you know, both teams should not touch the football. Well, that doesn't mean I think that they should go to the college rules.
Yeah, what's your system solution?
I mean, I would think that no matter what happens, now you either play a full quarter, which I would not necessarily do, but you just
they don't want to do that for safety and concussion while adding an extra game.
Yeah, just turn the clock off. You know, each team gets a possession. Each team gets to touch the football.
Okay, so if Buffalo scores, then next score wins?
I say you just keep going.
Keep going.
You keep going until somebody, like, not a sudden death, right? You know, so Kansas City got the ball. They score a touchdown. Buffalo gets the ball. They score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Kansas City gets the ball. They kick a field goal. Buffalo gets the ball. They score a touchdown. Game over.
Okay.
I think everybody should get the same.
They kick a field goal. It continues.
Even if Kansas City scored a touchdown. Even if Kansas City scored a touchdown on the second possession, to me, I'm a baseball guy. Everybody should get the same amount of at-bats.
And then if Buffalo doesn't score a touchdown on their second possession, game over.
Yeah. To me, if one team is going to – everybody should get the same amount of at-bats. The home team gets to decide whether they want the ball first or not. That's how the decision should go.
Troy, what do you think? Do they need to change it? Do you think that the Bills got robbed?
I'm just not a big fan of, like, you know, determining – A future Super Bowl, a future team moving on, pretty much the future in a coin. I just don't like that. Like, we don't play this game and we don't follow the NFL all season long in order to see if it's heads or tails.
Yeah.
It's to see who's the best and who's not. And people are like, well, I mean, clearly the Bills defense wasn't the best. They weren't able to contain them. But that's not the point, because they only had that ability to do so because of a coin. I just don't like that. I don't like it at all.
What's the split on the fan text?
Let's see. There's no need to change for a rare situation. Overtime rules are fine. Each team has a chance called a coin toss. That's not a chance! NFL needs to change the overtime rules. The college overtime, we need to do the spot and choose method. That's a Ravens thing. The Ravens said the spot and choose. One team picks the spot of the ball to start overtime, and the other team chooses to play offense or defense. If the one team picks the offense's own 20-yard line, the opponent would then choose whether to play from their own 20 or on offense or defense. With the other team having the ball at the own 20, it would minimize a lot of the other stuff. I don't know. I'd have to read really into that one. Here's a concept. Win before overtime. Why does that not apply to the other team? The other team, you could say the one that won, they should have won before overtime too. Hmm. A random coin toss, something. Like, who does a coin toss anymore? It's so stupid and old.
It's an NFL game. It's not No Country for Old Men. You know? It's not that. It's a little different.
When's the last time y'all used a coin toss to decide something?
Go
more rock, paper, scissors?
Oh, yeah. My kid's punishment. I've done that before with my son.
What, the belt or the...
No. It's either you get no cell phone or no gaming PC for a week. Oh. How do you want to do it? Well, I don't know what to do. Let's have the coin do it. I felt like you know, Two-Face. It was awesome. Yeah. It was great.
Oh, Harvey.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I agree with what you both said. To just say it out loud, right? That game and that performance, and it feels worse when it's a high-scoring affair versus, like, if it was 9-9. I'm more mad at the teams, and I have less sympathy for them when it's 13-13. Because you had all the different possessions. And again, just like in the NBA, we do discount defense. Like, we don't care. You don't put the same onus and weight into, you know, caring about the defense getting a stop, even though they're a really important part of your football team. And again, we want to cater it all to the offense and the quarterbacks of letting both of them touch it.
I mean, look, Josh Allen's facial expression did not change the entire overtime. He looked like he saw a ghost because he knew.
Yeah, how many people fell in love with Josh Allen yesterday? Who kind of, like, yeah, they knew about him, but now you're, like, on the stage. He was going around yelling and screaming, getting hype on the sidelines, fourth downs with the conversions out there, toe-to-toe with Mahomes. His leap has, it's kind of been unreal. It's kind of like Steve Nash's leap. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Nash's, I think, took place later in his career than Allen with his completion and accuracy issues. But this guy is he's a freak. He is an absolute freak. They put everything on his shoulders and on his back. And whether it's Beasley, whether it's Diggs, yesterday it was Gabriel Davis with four touchdowns. He can beat you in any which way. Their first punt of the postseason took place in the second quarter. I think a lot of people are feeling really bad for Josh Allen because of the performance he gave us.
How could you not? He had a 90 QBR. That means he should have won that game over 90% of the time, basically. The only thing it took was an otherworldly performance by Mahomes. Like, that's what it took to beat him on this night. He was tremendous. And as the Fantech said, he looks like Shaq out there. He looks like he's playing against high school kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it is. I mean, I was so slow. I had to rethink all my Josh Allen
Mahomes
stuff.
Mahomes QBR was a 96.
96. Allen's was a 90.
96 versus 90.
That might be
the highest combined QBR game.
Well, in a playoff. I mean, I don't know. Regular season, I'm sure you've had. I'd have to go back
What are the great QB battle games that you can remember? Like, just because of SI, I always remember Marino Bledsoe when Dan, I think it was to start off a season. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, classic Manning Brady games in which they were going back and forth with each other.
You may want to remove Brady's name, put Romo.
Oh, the Romo Peyton game.
I mean, it wasn't as big of a game for the moment, but that was probably the most recent battle I can go. Wow,
I'd be willing to bet if you were just looking at like the which two games had a better QBR between the two of them. I mean, you might have. I'm not even. Not even so I was thinking the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. Not even that, because that was an 81 and a 76. Like, this is blowing that out of the water. I don't think there was a Manning-Brady playoff game like this, because those two teams, you know, the defenses won those games. Brady's defense has won in the early part, and Manning's defense has won in the later part.
Yeah. I don't want to be a victim of the moment. 337 has burned that into my mind. Oh, hyperbole, here we go. But I would like to compare this to other great, especially quarterback playoff matchups.
Yeah, you can compare it to the matchups, or you can just compare it to other great quarterbacks. Ruben Frank of NBC Sports, he puts out most career postseason games with a passer rating of 120 or higher. Patrick Mahomes, he's done it 5 times, along with Brady in Montana. Josh Allen, he's now done it 3 times, along with Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, and Troy Aikman.
The Romo Manning game, they had a QBR of an 89 and a 93. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's pretty close. That's about it. But that wasn't on the play. That was in October.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that Rams Chiefs game a couple years ago, the Goff Mahomes game. That was fantastic.
That was
awesome. Was it 51-48 or something?
Yeah, that's when G-Bag asked Jerry how close you are to those two. He's like, we're close.
Yeah.
We're there.
That was before Jared Goff decided he didn't like football anymore.
Yeah.
So there it is, an all-time classic. I love the Goff-Mahomes one, probably the most recent. But people are hoping that this is the next Brady Manning for years to come in the AFC. 877-881-1053. Hit us up all morning long, an unforgettable football weekend. 877-881-1053. Let's talk about the rest of the games. Are Brady and A-Rod going to be done with their current teams? Plus, we have Jerry Jones going off on his own team. The Sean Payton Report and Dan Quinn interviewing with the Giants today. Plus, Mavs and Stars, what you need to know. Headlines to recap the weekend next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.